Our scripture lesson today, here on Christmas Day, is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Christmas Day. Mother's Day. But it's a beautiful, beautiful scripture that tells a story of Mama. And I say it like that. You get all these people, it is Mother's Day, and refer to it as Mother and my mother. Oh, Mama. Because kids, when they're saying something, they don't go, Mother, 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 Mother. They go, Mama, 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 Mama. You know, I can keep on going because I hear that all the time. Mama, Mama, Mama. They don't say Dad. They turn and they go, Dad. And Dad goes, ah. And they go, Mama, Mama, Mama. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Jesus born in Bethlehem on Mother's Day. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went into his own town to register. And so Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was his pledge to be married and expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. There will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God, saying, "Glory be to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things up and pondered them in her heart. Shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. Say amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We honor Mom today. We thank you, Father, for the word that will remind us of what you built when you built a mother. Father, let these words be encouraging and strengthening and remindful. Go out, come back full, and let them be yet another way that we can talk of the glory of Jesus Christ, of the glory of the Lord through his simplest angel, a mother. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, have to take care of a little business first. The normal Mother's Day proclamation. This is a Mother's Day sermon I am preaching without apology and appreciation for that time-honored institution, without which the benefit I would not be here. Every Mother's Day sermon I've run across starts with an explanation, and this one's no exception. As ministers, we are reminded not to get too sentimental about motherhood, because for some, motherhood is an accident and not always a welcome one. For some, biological motherhood is impossible. For some, mothers weren't all that nice. For some, motherhood under the very best of circumstances is still a bed of roses on a primrose path. But if I can take some liberties with the poem Wilhelm Busch's words, and I'm not going to do the German, because I'll spit. To become a mother is not so difficult. On the other hand, being a mother is very much so. So with all those qualifications, why bother with Mother's Day at all? I'll tell you. Because of all the stumbling blocks, pitfalls, and broken dreams, soiled diapers, soiled wallpaper, spoiled plans, we talk about the beautiful idea, a natural part of God's creative plan to bring to light and love. Motherhood is a constant demand for the gift of caring. Proclamation, a Mother's Day sermon. So, I'm not supposed to get too sentimental. You can forget that. I love women. I love all the women in my life that have been a mother to me, and I guarantee you, they didn't bore me, and sometimes they wish they could smack me like my own mother. But that's what motherhood is. It's not necessarily always about the fact that you gave birth to that child. It's who you are and who you represent. And what we owe. 1976, I heard these words come across the radio for the very first time. He says, you know, most people are looking through their wallets or their pocketbooks and way down past the credit cards and the baby pictures and green stamps, usually find a little dog-eared piece of poetry. I was cleaning out my wallet the other day and I come across a whole bunch of IOUs. Some of them were 30 years overdue. Funny thing is that all these IOUs are owed to one person. And I kind of feel like right now might be a pretty good time for the accounting. Mama, are you listening? Mama, I owe you for so many things. Lots of services, like a night watchman, for example. Lying awake all nights listening to coughs, cries, creaking floorboards, or me coming in too late. You had the eye of an eagle, the roar of a lion, and you always had a heart as big as this house. I owe you for order services as a short order cook, chief chef, baker, for making sirloin out of hamburger, turkey out of tuna fish, and making two big old strapping boys full on leftovers. I owe you for cleaning services, for the daily scrubbing of face and ears and all the work done by hand, and for the frequent dusting of a small boy's pants to make sure that he led a spotless life, for washing and ironing that no laundry could ever do, for drying the tears of childhood and ironing out all the problems of growing up. I owe you for services as bodyguard, for protecting me from the terrors of thunderstorms and nightmares and from too many green apples. And Lord knows I owe you for medical attention, for nursing me through measles, mumps, bruises, bumps, splinters, and spring fever, and oh, let's not forget some of that good motherly medical advice either, oh no. Important things like, don't scratch it, it'll never heal. If you cross your eyes, they're probably going to stick like that. And most important of all was, make sure you have on clean underwear if you're ever in an accident. I owe you for veterinary services, for feeding every lost dog I dragged home at the end of a rope, and for healing the pains of puppy love. I owe you for entertainment. Entertainment that kept the house going through some pretty tough times. For wonderful productions at Christmas, 4th of July, birthdays, and for making believe come true on a tight and limited budget. I owe you for construction work, for building kites, confidence, hopes, and dreams, and somehow you made them all touch the sky. And for cementing a family together so it would stand the worst kind of shocks and blows and laying down a good foundation to build a life on. I owe you for carrying charges, for carrying me on your books, for the necessity of life that a growing boy just has to have. Things like a pair of high-top boots with that little pocket in the side for your jackknife. See that? One thing, Mom, I will never forget is when there were two pieces of apple pie left and three hungry people, I suddenly noticed that you weren't the one very hungry anymore. And there's very few things for which payment is long overdue. The person I owe them to worked cheap, and she managed by doing simply without a whole lot of things she needed for herself. Mom, my IOUs add up to so much more than I could ever repay. But you know, the nicest thing about it is that she'll mark the entire bill paid for full with just one little kiss and four words. Mom, I love you. Jimmy Dean, 1976. Anybody remember that? They don't play it anymore. You know why? Because we have forgotten what mom is. Suddenly nowadays in this world of equality and feminist rights, and don't get me wrong, I'm all for whatever. But suddenly we have forgotten that mom has the biggest job of all. She is to be mom. It don't matter whether you bore that child or you're rearing that child. And you know what that is? That is the greatest job to which you will never get thanked in your entire life. Bill Cosby does the greatest thing. You know, mom's on Mother's Day. Everybody runs around. And boys come in. Moms are always in the kitchen, got the apron on, you know, always wiping their hands on the apron. And boy will come in with a stick, with gum and a flower sticking on it. Mom, I made that just for you. And she'll hold it. She'll dab in her eyes with the apron. That's how great it is. And that's all the thanks you'll get. But you weren't built that way. You were built to become the cornerstone, the solid point of a family. I love that song, and it sums up mom so perfectly. Because in reality, the entire world around her rests within her heart. Nancy Matthews had a stupid son. Stupid. Stupid. Those were the words written down on a piece of paper when he was sent home from school one day. Ma'am, your son is stupid and worthless. He will never amount to anything. Don't send him back to school. He is an idiot. He will never come up with nothing. Nancy started teaching him herself. She wanted him to know that mama's love in her heart would make him great. Nancy's boy grew from all that training, from all that teaching, from being in that house. And do you know what Nancy's son grew up to do? Anybody?
Thomas
he did this.
Edison.
That's right. He turned these on. Nancy Edison raised up her boy, Thomas, to make those lights we just saw. From some kid that was deemed as stupid and dumb and unable to learn, and yet she knew in her heart that there was so much to it. That's what motherhood is all about. It's all about taking someone, taking that child, taking someone that's in front of you and realizing that God built them for a purpose and that wants to bring them forward. In our scripture today, it gets missed all the time. And I feel it's sad. I read it again today because it's a great scripture. When it says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. In the flash of an eye, she went from being a bright-eyed teenager, a little girl, to being a mother. And she began to feel that wisdom flow. I'm telling you, there's something about that. And that wisdom is what we seek from mama, ain't it? Say amen. Amen. Who's the first person you run in the house and tell anything to? It ain't dad. Because he's too busy. Right? He's over there asleep in his easy chair because he just preached at church on Sunday and he's got this little thing going where he's now convinced his wife, I'm so tired after preaching, honey. I just need to lay down here and check the other side of my eyelids for holes. I'll be awake in about a half hour. I got that game going for till she figures it out, which I'm sure she already has. Mom! G. Campbell Morgan, he is a great preacher. If you ever get a chance to read any of his works, Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, a powerful preacher, grew up and had four sons, and all four sons became preachers. That is daddy right there, ain't it? That is how you get pride going. Ah, my boys, four men, four strong men. Oh, preachers, look at that. Did that. Sometime somebody was there doing an interview of Dr. Campbell and his family, and they was led into the drawing room. And the eldest boy was named Howard. He said, "Howard, who is the greatest preacher in your family?" And Howard stood up, eyes all shiny with admiration. He looked straight across the room at his father, and then without a moment's hesitation, he said, "Mom, she's the greatest preacher in the family." That's how it is. That's how I grew up. I love my fathers. We'll talk about them in a month. They got a lot to teach me. Some of the things they taught me, I probably shouldn't know. But Mom was always there. Or some woman. Each one of you in this room have been a part of my life. Somehow, some way. I'll never forget the first time I talked to Linda before I came here 8 years ago. On the phone we talked. And talked. And then we meet. Martha told me a story years later. I've told you the story before. She said the first time you walked through the door, long hair, long beard, big looking burly mountain man, we was all set to meet a preacher, right? And you come busting through that door and you didn't walk through gentle. You came in like you was on business. Martha said she actually went like this. She went, "Huh." She said, "I didn't know what Linda had brought us. They will never go for him. Never." 8 years later, everybody has had that influence that has gotten to this point in life of somebody who was a mother. Helen Lawrence. I've heard everybody around here talk about what that woman meant. A four-year-old and a six-year-old presented their mother with a potted houseplant. They had used their own money, and she was thrilled. But the older of them said with a very sad face, "Mama, we wanted to get you this great big old bouquet that was in there with flowers and a great big banner over it. It was real pretty, but it was too expensive. It had a ribbon on it that said, 'Rest in peace.' And we thought it would be perfect since you're saying if I could just get a little rest." She was happy with the plan. God cut out a piece of fabric that would be woven for time until forever and called her a woman. Why? Because he knew we needed it. Women are interviewed. I read an article here not too long ago in preparation for this about some of the greatest women in the world that were interviewed. What was your most major influences? Whom do you look up to? And 9 out of the 10 women all said the same thing. The most positive and powerful influences on my life are people you ain't never heard of. It all started in the home. It all started simply. Mother Teresa owes her credit to the women that raised her up to give her the heart that she had. We tread on this day with a little bit of humor and a little bit of, "What am I going to get her? What am I going to get her?" Y'all see all the men, and I say it like that, men and little boys standing at the card rack in the grocery store or at the drugstore trying to pick out the perfect card. And I watch this because, well, I'm usually one going, well, here's a card with a car on it. She might like that one. And a little girl will come in, or a woman will come in to get a card for Mama or the little girl. And they'll walk in. Boink! And they'll get that thing, and right out the door they go. You see, that's the way you're built. You're built with that instant understanding, that instant care. And thank you for it. Thank God in heaven that he gave you to us. Greatest influences in my life? My grandmother's. They're some hard women. I'm telling you right now, in my grandma Leatherman's house, You didn't touch her grandchildren. You could flip over a pickup truck out in the barnyard and set it on fire and run to the house. And if you got in the house before your grandfather caught you, my grandmother was like, don't you touch him. Now sit down over there, boy, and eat a peanut butter cracker. Yes, Grandma. But when Grandma got mad, I would rather have been back outside the house. And at communion, always at communion, my Nanny Leatherman made communion bread until she couldn't no more. And after communion at church on Sunday, she had a flock of grandchildren and other children that were not her grandchildren that she loved like they were her very own. And they would come up there because when we did communion at Harmony Church of the Brethren and they passed it down the line, little kids didn't get it because it wasn't your time yet. And I always watch and they give them a little piece like that. And it went on past, and we'd run out there up to the front, and there'd be my nanny. Come here, come in, come here. And she'd be breaking off pieces of that communion bread. She had it set off to the side. They were for her children. All the kids in church knew. How do you look away from that influence? My grandmother Leatherman brought flowers to church every Sunday. Nanny brought flowers into that church every Sunday, even if it was tired old Queen Anne's lace. Do you know that to this day, when I'm out mowing, I can't mow over a Queen Anne's lace plant. No matter if that thing's right in the middle of the yard, I go around it. Because I'm afraid of hurting my grandma's feelings. But that's what we got raised up with. That's what we got brought up with. We got lifted up in such a way because Mama became the treasure. And she ponders everything in her heart. When we come tearing in the house, when anything's going on around there, and we come at my wife full speed, hey, she doesn't say anything right away. Why? Because God gave her the good sense to put everything first in her heart and treasure it. And of course, when God invented women, he knew that some 10,000 years later, some nut was going to invent the video camera, and that nut was going to invent a way to video all of the babies and everything they're doing. And so now, years later, when it's cold in the winter and there's nothing on TV, stop smiling like that. She walks in the room and says, let's watch baby videos. And the room clears out. And suddenly Mom goes, but. And when that sound hits that, we all come back in, and there we sit, watching those two nuts as little babies. And the whole time I'm watching it thinking, what was I thinking? And she cries, and she laughs, and she giggles. And I see what God made. And I understand. I believe it was Tammy Wynette that did the other song, but it started in 1974. It says, our little boy came to his mama in the kitchen one evening while she was fixing supper, and he handed her a piece of paper on which he had been writing. And after wiping her hands on her apron, she read it, and this is what it said. For mowing the yard, $5. For making my own bed this week, $1. For going to the store, even when I didn't want to, 50 cents. For playing with my little brother while you were shopping, 25 cents. For taking out the trash, $1. For getting a good report card, $5. For raking the yard and actually getting rid of the leaves, $2. Total amount owed is $14.75. Well, as Mama looked at him standing there expectantly with his hand out, all I could see watching it were the memories flashing through her mind. And so she picked up a pen, turning the paper over. This is what she wrote, and she read to him, for 9 months I carried you while you were growing inside of me. No charge. For the nights we sat up doctoring you, praying for you. No charge. For the time and tears that you've caused through the years, there's no charge. And when you've added up the full cost of my love to you, is no charge. For the nights filled with dread and the worries ahead, no charge. For advice, for knowledge, and the cost of your college, no charge. For the toys, food, and clothes, and for wiping your nose, no charge. When you add it all up, the full cost of my love is no charge. When she had finished reading, I watched as big tears fell in his eyes. And he looked up at his mama and he said, "Mama, I sure do love you." Then he took his pen and he wrote in great big letters, "Paid in full." When you add it all up, the cost of mama and her love is no charge. In her heart, she keeps everything in her heart. And she drives the house, doesn't she? I still love that movie, my big fat Greek American Greek. Yeah, that one. You know why I love it? Because I'm never allowed to look away from it. Again, in the winter, hey, let's watch this movie. Sure, dear. But the greatest scene in there is when the girl, she wants to go get a job. And the man, Gus, isn't that his name, Gus? He don't want her to get no job. "No, you're not going to do it." "Yes, I am." "No, you're not." And she storms out of the room. Mama. And mama walks up there and she goes, "I will handle this, sweetheart. Because you see, and I can do this, because you see, the man is the head of the household. But the woman, she is the neck. And the neck can turn the head any way she wants." John Cleaver was asked how he would describe his life with his wife Mary. John's a great writer of gospel note. He said, "She has displayed an extraordinary amount of patience." He answered, he paused, he continued, "Women are an inspiration. It's because of them we put on clean shirts and wash the back of our necks. Because of women, we want to excel. Because of a woman, Christopher Columbus discovered America." And Mary was sitting there and said, "Queen Isabella, right?" And he looked at her very calmly and said, "I was thinking more of Mrs. Columbus. Get out of this house, and I mean now, and go do something. I'm not kidding around." In her heart. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the loving God, who was promised to a virgin named Mary. I believe in the love that Mary gave her son that caused him to follow him into ministry and stand by his cross as he died. I believe in the love of all mothers and its importance of the life the children they bear. It is stronger than steel, softer than down, and more resilient than a green sapling on a hillside. It closes wounds, melts disappointments, and enables the weakest child to stand tall and straight in the fields of adversity. I believe that this love, even at its best, is a shadow of God, of His love, a dark reflection of all that we can expect from Him, both in this life and the next. And I believe the most beautiful sights in the world is a mother who lets this greater love flow from her heart to her child, blessing the world with the tenderness of her touch and the tears of her joy. John Killinger wrote those words about his own mother and the woman other than her that helped raise him. In her heart, Mary treasured all these things in her heart. Mama, where do you put everything? In your heart. That's how much you care. That's where it comes from. That's where the strength is. They carry us, worry for us, give everything to us, and they love us. Years ago at Revival, Johnsontown Church of the Brethren, my father was leading revival, and he had some powerful 1970s fire-breathing speaker in there, and we was having fun. And at the revival, they always had a children's story. Remember that? And they always brought somebody up in that speaker, and I don't remember why, but he was explaining to us about angels. And we was all sitting there, and he was drawing this picture. And when he got done, he goes, "But you want to see the angels? Turn around and look. Every woman in this church, that's the angels on earth." I've never forgotten that. When I look at all you all, that's what I see. in her heart. Robert Ingersoll, the notorious skeptic, was in his heyday. Two college students went to him to hear a lecture. Now, let me stop here. Robert Ingersoll brought a lot of persecution against Christian peoples through the form of debate and argument. And so if you got the chance to go up against Robert Ingersoll, you'd better have your stuff together. And as they walked down the street after the lecture, one said to the other, "Well, I guess he knocked the props right out from under Christianity, didn't he?" And the other one said, "No. No, I don't think he did." Ingersoll did not explain my mother's life. And until he can explain my mother's life, I will stand by the God taught to me from my mother. Amen. In her heart. On this day, ladies, thank you. Thank all of you. You all know who you are and what you have been to me, to my family, and to the many others that's lives you have touched. I ask that you continue to keep me, my family, and all those around you in your heart. It's pretty near the safest place I know on earth. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the things that you have given us and taken away, but the greatest thing that you have given us is Mama. You showed that example of what a mother is when Mary bore the Son of God, your Son, when she brought him up, when she raised him, and when she was there at the cross as he died. She kept all these things and treasured everything in her heart, filling it with the love and the understanding that sets a great example to this day. We thank you, Father. We thank you, we love you, and we praise you. And I ask for a blessing for each and every one of them here today that are gathered up. That the work they do be extended. That the blessings they have be powerful and strong. Thank you, Lord, for Mother. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.